up, witches, and welcome to Witch in a Bitchin' a Podcast. I'm your host, Darren.
And I'm Vicky. How are you all today? I hope you're doing really, really well. I can't stop. It's now fine. It's a new year. It's I was just going to try to do a whole new intro, but it just doesn't work.
I just got to do Why change me? A good thing? Everyone That's wants right. you to just do it, so let's just keep doing
just,
it.
Just it's do fine. Me.
Now, for those that are watching this on YouTube, you'll see we have not changed clothing. And the reason why is because we recorded these episodes back to back. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, the last episode was actually about divination and about cartomancy. Yeah. And we decided to turn this one into a two-part series just because so it's not like a two-hour episode or whatever.
Yes, that's it.
We thought we'd cut it in half, do one section.
You can have a bit of a break.
Yeah. And then you can come back to it. And now we're talking the other half, which is tarot. So yes. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the previous one, just go back and listen. We talk about just general cartomancy. Then we talk about oracle cards, angel cards, affirmation cards, all that stuff.
What you use them for.
Yep. How to use them, all that stuff. And then so now we're going to be talking about tarot specifically.
Yes. Yay. So, this is exciting. I love tarot.
Before we kick off, a little bit of a brief history of tarot.
Ooh, I like it.
Obviously, we don't know. No one knows where tarot came from, but there's a lot of theories around it. It's said that tarot cards have been around for many hundreds of years throughout Europe. So they didn't actually start out as a divination card deck, but it was actually a card game called Trumps. So it was thought that this was somewhere around the 13th century. So with the game of Trumps, it's similar to modern day bridge, where the major arcana were like trump cards, and then the minor arcana were just your normal playing cards. And it wasn't until sometime around the 15th century, give or take, that they actually started to get used as like more divination style. And then after that, like obviously artists and occultists and whatnot, they decided to create even more interesting imagery and thinking that there must be more to the cards than just a card game. And that's where they kind of turned it into what is now called tarot. So they say that there's all different like philosophies about it and stuff. Some people say it's based on a card called Tarocchi. So Tarocchi was a something from Italy. It was a game they used to play. But then Trumps was another one that they called it as well. So most modern day decks, or at least in the early days, were based on what's called the Rider-Waite-Coleman-Smith deck, or the Rider-Waite-Smith deck. Yeah. So it's where you have essentially the 78 cards, 56 of them are the minor arcana.
Minor, yep.
56 cards is the minors, which is the four different suits, and you have aces to tens, then page, knight, queen, king in each suit, and then you have the major cards, which is 22 cards, totaling 78. So
most That's a lot of them, of cards.
A lot of cards, yeah.
It's so a lot of cards.
A lot of the decks will be split up into the four suits being wands, cups, swords, and pentacles.
Yep.
There might be other words that they use. So sometimes wands is called staves. Sometimes pentacles is called coins. And sometimes they go by the element that's associated with them. So for example, wands is fire, cups is water, swords is air, and pentacles or coins is earth. There are some decks that have flipped and reversed the masculine sign. So fire and so swords is actually fire and wands is actually air in some decks, but most standard decks will have wands is fire and swords is air.
Yeah, because see, that makes a lot of sense to me, because in my sort of training, my magical training, we associate the wand with air and the sword with fire. So that's why I always had it when I was learning the tarot. It was always a little bit of a hard one for me, because that's
it's
always
flipped in reverse. Really?
Yeah.
The wand was air?
Yes.
So I've always thought that wand is fire and sword is air.
No. Well, that was just
interesting.
Yeah, I guess that was just one how of those things taught. That different, different traditions and different things. But yeah, that was how I was always taught. And that's, I think, more because fire with the sword was because it can be forged in fire as well, like to create it, and also that it's a little bit more of a forceful sort of tool, whereas air wasn't quite as, I don't know if that's really the bit, but yeah, that's why sometimes it would always kind of get me a little bit with the swords and fire and air and all of those.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So that's essentially how a deck is, or most standard, what I would refer to as a standard tarot deck, is actually structured. But obviously there are non-standard tarot decks and ones that do not follow the Rider-Waite-Coleman-Smith model, which we're going to obviously touch on a little bit as well. So one of the things that I get asked a lot as a tarot instructor is, can you read for yourself? So I was raised, when I first did my training way back when, as a little witchling, I was always taught how to read for others, which then meant that it took me a long time to learn how to read for myself because of the fact that I couldn't look at it objectively. I would always be subjective and it would always be me trying to overlay life's meaning over the intuition, like rather than just allowing the intuition to happen and then trying to match it up with my life. So I would always influence the reading. So I always learned to read for others first and then read for myself, but I actually teach my students the opposite. So I teach them to read for themselves first, because then reading for someone else is easy in comparison. Well, I say it is.
Well, you think it is. Well, I don't know.
You don't know? Do you think it's hard?
Well, I do. No, I actually don't. I think it's easier to read for other people, but it's just more getting over my own insecurities, I guess. That's what makes it difficult to read for other people. But
yeah,
I think you're right. It is actually easier then to read for others when you've read for yourself.
Yeah. I think I guess there's two ways of doing it. Like, you can start with yourself and then read for others, or you can start with others and then read for yourself. But either way, you may find that at the start, at least until you get to know all the cards and you learn how to discern your own emotions from things, it's always going to be a little bit tricky.
Sorry, I had to just quickly put my battery on. Flick it on. It suddenly just flashed up. So sorry about that. That was a bit
good. So a couple of things that I would say, like, if you're on this journey and you're really interested in tarot, I say go for it, because it's something that I believe every witch should at least dabble in tarot.
I had a funny relationship with tarot for a while, because I didn't know how to read tarot. It was always fascinated by it and always wanted to, but it just would never gel. So I had for a little while there, I'm like, I mustn't be a real witch because I can't read tarot. There was this little bit of a feeling in me that I'm like, you're just failing as a witch because you can't read tarot. But I used to do other divination and things like that. But then, because that's how we met, was that I did your course last year. And now I'm all about the tarot. All about the tarot. I love it. And see, because I'd never been able to learn it before. It just, I don't know, it didn't stick. There were 78 cards. There's too many different things. But I just love the way that you did
it. May have been shit teachers. No, I'm just kidding.
It could have been. But then I did it and it was amazing. So I also know I did your fundamentals course. That's how I learned how to do tarot, which is amazing. And now I'm like a full addict of tarot now.
I love that you're an addict.
I am. I'm a full tarot addict now.
How many decks of tarot cards do you own now, roughly?
8.
And how many of those were bought after doing the course?
About half of them. And I've got 2 coming.
Oh, sorry, Scott.
I think it is. Yes, I do. I've got 2 coming. Because now I've even got, I know, now I've gone next level and I'm going into like the Kickstarter ones.
Oh, it's like, dangerous. It's dangerous. Once you start, you never go back.
So I've got 1 coming. I know there's at least 1 coming in the next few months.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
And I have others coming now. So yes, which I wanted to then also say, because I learned from your fundamentals and I know that you have another course coming up that you're running that, and you probably won't say it, but I would like to. So how can people do that course?
So
when is it?
What I'll do is in the links for this episode, I'll post a link that takes you to the Facebook page.
Okay, that's
basically
great.
I've got an event on Facebook. So basically it's kicking off on Sunday the 17th of January at this stage. That's what I've planned anyway. I've put it out there, but obviously it depends on
what happens.
That works for everyone, but we'll see. That's the date when I was planning on doing it. So I tend to do tarot fundamentals on a Sunday night because it's when people are the most relaxed.
Yes.
But depending on who ends up signing up, I may adjust the time and stuff depending on who's there. Because I'm pretty flexible. I mean, I work for myself, so I can really teach at any time. the way I structure my course is it runs for 11 weeks.
Yes.
So it's not just one of these things that, you know, you listen to it once and then that's it. So I actually give all of my homework every week.
Yes. Very thorough, which is good because doing it every week like that was amazing for me because it kept me on task, but then it also allowed for it all to kind of digest and then actually use it. So it was good. So it's a beautiful mix of both theory and practical, and it's in no way at all boring at all.
Oh, yay. Thank
you. It's fun. I loved it.
I appreciate that. I try to be as entertaining as I can be.
Yes. if you think about our podcast, that's kind of what it's like. It's great.
It's like having a chat with me on the podcast, not.
Just not about tarot, just about tarot instead.
Specifically, yeah. So no, I decided to go with 11 weeks because for several reasons. One is because I like the number 11.
I do too.
Because it's an angel number.
Good day.
Two, also, it's actually just it's a power number. Like, isn't it one of their master numbers?
Yes, it's one of the master numbers. I was born on the 11th.
Oh, okay.
I'm a bit special.
Look out. but also the other thing is that because in order to get insurance in Australia, there are certain requirements that you have to meet. And one of them is a certain number of hours of study.
Yep.
So I divided my course by 11 weeks because then that way I could make sure that people, when wanting to get insurance to be a tarot reader, they could pass that requirement. So they can actually
which is a really good aspect to it, because a lot of I didn't realize you actually can't, because you haven't done the right amount of hours, so you can actually get insured with this one as well.
And that's like a side note, like as a tarot reader I have insurance because the last thing you would want is for you to give someone some advice. Now I never use the word advice in a reading. I always say guidance, but in case they mistake my guidance as advice and then they act upon it and then they come for me legally, I can say, well, no, I didn't advise that. I gave you guidance and I said that anything that's said, it's taken, like, it's just general guidance. it's like when you give a general insurance clause, like I'm not giving you specific advice on life. It's just guidance. So I actually teach my students. I'm pretty sure I would have harped on about that point with you guys.
You did.
Like, never say advice. You do not advise anything.
Never say advice. To the point now where I go to say something and I'm like, oh, no. I can't say that.
Yeah, no. Because like it's a whole thing of, it comes down to reading ethics as well.
Yeah,
like,
that's right. And you need to have that aspect to it too. If you're reading for others.
Yeah. And that's another thing. Like, some people, they get scared by tarot because they think that, oh, I'm going to see the future and I'm going to see my death, or I'm going to see someone die and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, let's just rewind a second. Tarot does not tell a definitive, concrete, set in stone future.
Yeah.
It gives you an insight. It's like lifting and having a little glimpse underneath the curtain to see what the future may hold.
Yeah.
But no sooner have I done the reading for you, have you then started changing decisions in your mind about new events in the future that could then totally alter the outcome.
Yeah, like there's that thing where you could probably do a spread at the beginning, and then from giving that information and that guidance and stuff like that, the person's already started to think, you could actually then do the spread again and it would probably be completely different because they've adjusted because of knowing what's happening.
So do you know, I played a little game with myself in my early days as a tarot reader. Yeah. So what I did was I shuffled my cards.
Yeah.
And I dealt the cards out face down.
Yeah.
Then I asked Chris to take I then left the room. He flipped all the cards up the other way and took a photo of them, then flipped them back down. Turn them upside down again, took a photo of it, and then just left it at that. And then I grabbed all my cards, put them back together in my deck, and shuffled them up to mix them up again. And then I left it because I did the reading with the intention that it was going to be like a 3-month reading. And then I carried on with life. And 3 months later, I then reviewed the photo to see what had happened and to see what happened was in line with the cards. I did this, it was like a little fun game that I did just to see.
That's really
because by
cool.
having no insight into the knowledge of what the cards showed, I wanted to see if what they predicted came into fruition.
Actually came through.
And then that way I could kind of go back and say, ooh, because that was also a way of me connecting with the cards to see, to get more insights and more meanings.
Yeah, I was going to say that would bring me. Bring a whole new level to it as well.
And because the other thing I was doing back in those days is every time I did a reading, I'd take a photo. And then I would like do something, or I'd write down the spread or whatever.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the time period, I would then try to find, like, connect certain cards to certain events in my life to see because then basically as a tarot reader, then helps you kind of refine your reading ability.
Yeah.
Because then I know from my personal experience, this card, whilst this book by this person said it means this, from my personal experience, it also could mean this, 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 or this.
Yeah. And yeah, there's actually real life experience to it as well of what they mean. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so it's like little games that you can play.
Love it. Oh, I love that. But yeah, the biggest thing is that not to be scared of it, to give it a go.
Not at all. Because like,
I think there is a big thing with that, isn't there?
Because people think that, oh, it's going to tell me that I'm going to die, or it's going to tell me about doom and gloom, because it's got a death card and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And they think it's, oh my God, someone's going to die. No one's going to die.
No.
Death is like the whole death and rebirth. It's that whole, death of a process. It's all about change and transformation.
It's change. Yeah, it's just change and transformation, which is what a witch is all about.
I mean, you know, live like and the whole change and transformation.
Like, that's right. The whole cycles of that birth, death, and rebirth, and the seasons and everything, like it all emphasizes that point, doesn't it?
Exactly. So in diving into tarot a little bit more.
Yes.
Obviously, there are so many different types of decks out there. Like, I feel like there's just as many different decks of tarot cards as there are tarot readers in the world.
Yes.
Now, actually, rewind a step.
Okay.
First thing I want to touch on. Tarot is not a closed practice.
Oh, yes.
Some witches out there have come for me personally, and they've said, oh, tarot is a closed practice unless you're of Romani or Tsigane descent. You shouldn't be reading tarot cards. But I've got news for them. It's not a closed practice.
No,
it's not reserved to any one culture. There's no cultural appropriation by being a tarot reader at all, in the slightest. You don't have to be like this lineage-based hereditary tarot reader. There's none of that. If you are, kudos to you. Awesome.
Yeah, that's it. That's awesome.
Great. But you don't have to be. Anyone can learn to read cards. It's not a closed practice. Like there are even some people that read off normal playing cards.
Yes, a beautiful. I'll shout out to one of my beautiful friends, V. She's
a
reader.
V.
Yeah, she's a reader, and she's a beautiful psychic and a reader, and she uses playing cards. That's how she does
her
reading.
I'd be interested to hear how she does it, because I.
It's
the
amazing.
Only way
I
that
love
I
it.
Read with playing cards is that I just overlay my minor arcana and court card definitions over the playing cards. That's the only way I know how to read with him. I don't know if there's
it's
any other.
Yeah, it's a bit different. Like, because she's done reading for me, and it's amazing. I love it. I absolutely love it. And there's also that whole extra layer, because I like to use, when I look at the cards, like since doing the course, and learning like the different symbols and what that means to help give me an idea of what the cards mean. But there's nothing. There's nothing on a plaque of cards. So, yeah, that's a really cool way of doing it as well. So, hi, B.
Hi, B. So, because obviously there are some people that use standard playing cards.
Yeah.
And you can do it that way. That's more like cartomancy, but some people use it for tarot specifically. Then you have what I would call a standard tarot deck, which is like your Rider-Waite-Smith or Rider-Waite-Coleman-Smith deck, a la these ones that I'm holding up for those looking at YouTube. Like you've got the Hanged Man, the Strength card, the Devil card, the Tower card.
They're the
card,
very, like, they're kind of the standard ones that you normally see when...
Everywhere.
Yeah, when they
you see them everywhere. But then you also have adaptations that are still based on the Rider-Waite-Coleman Smith deck. So I've brought a couple of my favorites with me.
Ooh, lovely.
So one of my absolute faves, it's Shadowscapes Tarot. So this is by Stephanie Puymun Law. So she's an amazing ethereal kind of artist. So if you just look at the artwork on the box, it's very beautiful. Like
it is that very ethereal kind of...
Yeah, very whimsical. Like if I turn over so you can look at
the back. Yes, that's the word, whimsical.
You can see like some of the images that she's got on there.
Yeah,
so like
I've got that one.
Wands tend to be foxes, and then you've got cups energy is usually fish. Swords energy is generally birds, and then pentacles is like forest animals or whatnot, isn't it usually?
Yeah.
Something like that. But yeah, so she uses different the elements and stuff, but it's very, very
kind of nature. Yeah.
Very nature-y. It's nature-y, just so
whimsical.
Beautiful.
They are really beautiful cards.
It's kind of in a, almost, I would say, almost like a Japanese anime style.
I was about to say that, but I didn't want to, I'm like.
Almost.
But that's
almost
that's
like
that kind
anime
of.
Style.
Yeah, it does have that kind of Japanese sort of feel to the pictures as well. Like
yeah, manga
the,
or anime style of imagery.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. So this is one of my favorite decks, Shadowscapes. And then I would say that that's a very like light and fluffy deck, whereas then another one of my favorite decks, which I love, which is a shadow deck, is the Dark Wood Tarot. So we actually did a bit of a deep dive into this one with Sasha Graham on a previous episode. But this one, literally, if you have a look at the imagery on this,
they are beautiful cards.
It's what we would call a shadow deck. So it specifically focuses on the shadow side or the shadow meanings of every card. So it's a, definitely a different energy, again, to a standard tarot deck. But they both follow the Rider-Waite-Coleman-Smith method of how the cards are divided and whatnot. And then there's one that both of us have it. Is this Dreams of Gaia Tarot. So this one is by Raven. And this is different again.
It's not based on the...
And this is the thing, like, and it's a beautiful deck. I have not mastered this deck yet.
No, I haven't either. And they are, honestly, they're the most beautiful artwork. Like, I adore her artwork, and that's what attracted, like, the cards are just amazing. But they are, they're like a, I guess, they're not an oracle because it is a tarot, but it's almost like an oracle where they are of their own, completely their own system.
Yeah, 100%.
There's no overlay at all.
You just have to learn this deck specifically.
Yeah, and there's quite a few of those around, isn't there? It's kind of those two, that's sort of the two ways, isn't it? A lot of have that adaption of the Rider-Waite, and then there's the ones that are completely different.
Yeah, and then there's another one. So this one used to be a Kickstarter.
Yes,
it did. This is the Lightseer's Tarot. So this is the Kickstarter. Well, this is not the Kickstarter version, though. So this is like a mass-produced version that came from Hay House. But originally it was Kickstarter.
It was, because I'll do another shout-out to someone else I know, a beautiful friend of mine, Cara, who's also a tarot collector. She got the Kickstarter one because there's actually a card that had to be changed.
Oh.
Yeah. It actually had to be recalled and changed because of the imagery on it that with cultural
appropriation.
Yeah, it wasn't so much cultural appropriation, but it was a lot to do. I can't remember which card it was. It was one of the swords. I'm thinking it was either the 10 or the 9 of swords. And it had a person of dark colored skin, and there was a lot to go with it that had a bit of cultural sort of stuff.
Okay, so
then it got changed.
Those that know, the standard Rider-Waite Coleman-Smith depiction of a 10 of swords would be someone laying face down with like a whole heap of swords in their back.
Whereas this one was kind of scars and things, I think, for memory. So yeah, it had sort of that kind of connotation, I guess, that was also added to it. So it was changed. So
interesting.
Yeah, and so a new card had to be sent out to everybody.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so there's a little extra little tidbit with that deck.
Because this is absolutely a beautiful deck. So the thing I love about this one, it's a very soft energy, this deck.
Yeah.
So it's not as, well, when I say harsh, it's a little bit more warm and fuzzy.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of extra cream on this one.
We all have those decks, those different decks, you know, the ones that are really just gonna like rip the band-aid off and give it to you straight. And then there's the other ones that are gonna still give you the same information, but just a little nicer.
For me, there's some days where literally all I do is I grab my standard Rider-Waite deck, and I'm like,
that's my standard now, because
just
give
me the cold hard truth and just give it to me straight up, like, oh, the world, yay.
That was good, well done.
Could have been Death Guard. Or the Tower. I actually love the Tower.
That's your favorite, isn't it?
Yeah, it's my favorite card. So so sometimes I'll be totally just feeling that energy because they're the ones that I work with the most. Whereas other times I'm like, no, I want a specific work in shadow stuff, so I'll pick up the Dark Woods. Or sometimes I'm feeling a little bit more whimsical and a little bit more elemental, and I'll pick up my Shadowscapes. Or if I'm feeling a little bit more like spiritual and like sisterhood, then I'll pick up my Lightseers. Or if I'm feeling a little bit more like bum chicka wah wah.
Oh yes,
I have an amazing deck of cards. It's called the Gay Tarot, and it's actually by an artist by the name of Saint Jinx. So you can follow him on Instagram, Saint Jinx Art on Insta. I actually reached out to him and asked him if he'd be willing to come on the show, because he does a lot of designing of almost homoerotica styles of divination cards. Like, he's got a rune deck, an oracle deck, and a tarot deck. He does it digitally, so he actually draws on,
it's amazing.
I'm guessing it's like an iPad type thing where he draws with a stylist or whatever, and he makes it look so good.
They're amazing.
But he said he's not a fan of coming on camera and talking about himself. But okay. Shout out to you. So
yes,
because I love your deck. And if you guys are interested in it, just check out his Instagram, and you can see there's a link to his store that you can purchase them from there. And he has both the censored version and the uncensored XXX versions of those decks.
Oh, the deck. Love it.
We won't go into too much more detail than that. Let's just say that if it's XXX, then you know that there's going to be lots of sex.
I was about to say. I love it.
So, when it comes to tarot.
Yes.
Yeah, as we already said, like if you want to learn tarot, I always say, look, do you have to do a course? No. But if you're going to read professionally, I would advise it. Because there's going to be things that you're going to learn to take you to a deeper level of understanding that will then just help facilitate that turning it into a business aspect of tarot. So I mean, obviously I do teach courses. There are plenty of other courses out there. So I'm actually teaching, as we said, on the 17th of January. I'm doing my next fundamentals run. So shout out to all of my alumni for 2020. Whoop, whoop. I love you guys all for supporting me, because this is the first year that I started teaching. And I think like with the last group are currently doing their assessments as we speak. So by the time we close out the year, I will have, I think, 20 alumni for 2020.
Woo-hoo! Yeah. Oh, how funny is that? 20 for 2020.
20 for 2020.
2020s.
Yeah, I love it. Lots of 20s. The first one of the last group, actually, she graduated on the solstice as well. So hers is going to, her date on her certificate is going to be 2112. So 2112, 2020.
Oh, I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah. So shout out to Amina. She was the first one to graduate out of this batch. But anyway, so there's that, but I'm also in the process of writing intermediate tarot and advanced tarot for my graduates. So if you want to do intermediate or advanced, one of my requirements is that you do my fundamentals first. So you've got time. If you want to do
intermediate and advanced,
they're going to be in April and May of this year, of 2021. So you had to have done fundamentals. So you've only got one more chance to do fundamentals before I do my intermediate and advanced tarot. And I've already got people signed up for that one too.
I know, it's pretty exciting.
I'm very excited. I love that people have signed up for it, trusting that it's going to be an epic.
Yes.
I love it, because I'm like, I'm still in the process of writing it, but I know it's going to be epic. So it's I'm fine. Glad
we
they're just, all.
We know that it's going to be epic too. So it's great.
Yeah. So I thought I would also touch on, if you are not the type of person that likes to do courses because you're a bit non-committal.
Or if you
some
maybe
people
just
are non-committal.
You might just want to kind of fluff around for yourself.
Fluff around a little bit. So
do it for yourself.
Enough, I just looked at this and I realized that all of the books here, bar one, are by Sasha Graham. Oh my god, how funny. I didn't even realize it till now. So there's this three-part series. I call this the Encyclopedia of All Things Tarot. There's the Tarot Fundamentals, Tarot Experience, and Tarot Compendiums. These are expensive, but they are totally worth their weight, I believe. So they say that the book number one is aimed at the beginner, and then you have an intermediate and advanced tarot. Have I just taken the stuff from there to write my course? No. I've done my research, bitches. then I also love this. We've got Sasha Graham has got these two amazing books here. One's called 365 Tarot Spells, and another one is 365 Tarot Spreads.
Oh,
so she has a spread a day and a spell a day.
That's cool.
You can use your tarot cards for, so not just for divination.
Yep, you can use them for all different things.
Which I actually am going to do that for 2021.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
use
go
the books
one
and
a
every day.
Day
I'm going to do a spell and I'm going to do a spread every day in 2021, and I'm going to document it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just for my own personal development.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Then this one is her Tarot Diva. So Tarot Diva is her name. That she calls herself on social media.
Yeah, that's kind of what she goes by, doesn't she?
But this one actually goes into not just the standard tarot meanings and spreads, but then she also got like, you know, which tarot archetype are you in the kitchen? Which tarot fashionista are you? And all that kind of stuff. So it's a lot more fun. So it's like fun ways you can incorporate tarot into daily life.
And also creating it, I guess, as a bit more of a personal thing as well, like likening it to your personal life.
Yeah.
So you can get a deeper meaning for the cards and things that way as well.
Yeah, because I used to be a chariot in the kitchen, meaning anything that was quick and fast and just whip it out and done. Now I'm slowly migrating. I don't remember which archetype it is now, but I'm migrating more to I sit there and I plan my meals and I plan it out and I, you know, want to put as many herbs and spices and interesting exotic things as I can.
Start to do it.
Yeah, just to make it a little bit more like ooh la la, a bit more bougie. Then we have, this one is another amazing book. So we have, it's the complete book of the Rider-Waite-Smith Tarot. So this one goes into the history of all of the cards, as well as just endless on the amount of information.
Lots of information. It's like, it's a really, pages. I don't know if you, I was going to say, if you're not looking on YouTube, it's huge.
It's a 500 page book. And now this one, I bought this in America. It's called Modern Tarot. It's written by Michelle T. So it can be used with any deck, not specifically Rider-Waite-Smith, but it's connecting with your higher self through the wisdom of the cards. So this one is a little bit different in that when you you read about a particular card and it will talk about the card and what it means and everything like that. And then there's like a little activity that you do for each card, like getting through the Five of Cups or being the Six of Cups or working with the Seven of Cups or...
So there's a bit of an action step. So there's an
action steps for each of them. So if it's something that you need to work through, then she's worded it as like to get past it.
Yeah.
So for example, let's use the Tower.
Yeah, let's go to the tower. Because I think everybody had a collective tower moment of
2020 was a complete tower clusterfuck of an event for everybody.
So let's have a look at what that was.
So the action steps out of this book, it's actually got a lot of them.
I was about to say, it probably does for the tower.
Working maybe with the tower, I'll just give you, so it's got, for example, lots of people might think you're crazy to willingly call the tower into your life, but if you need extreme and drastic change and cannot figure out how to get started, summon this energy into your sphere. Beware though, it's quite wild. Do not do this spell unless you are ready to deal with the consequences. Though the consequences of this spell are better in the long run than the consequences of sticking in your rut. But the tower will come for you eventually, so there is a little boost to not being taken by surprise. Because the tower card is all about crumbling down around you. And then she literally talks about, so the spell itself is taking a piece of tissue paper, carefully draw on it the image of the tower, a building struck by lightning with people jumping from it. Bring lit candles into the bathroom, white, black, red, or yellow. Pour Epsom salts into your bath and get in. Bring your sigil, the image of the tower, into the water with you. As it dissolves, call out to the powers of the tower and ask it to knock away everything that is keeping you from living your best life. Then relax into your bath. Draw upon the element of water to help you with be accepting and flexible in the time to come. Water is a great element to use with tower magic because it is impossible to hold onto it. And then the tower comes. And when the tower comes, you must let go.
You got to let go because it's the whole flow. Yeah.
And then when your bath is done, when the sigil has fully disintegrated, you may bottle a bit of the bath water and keep it as a talisman.
Oh, I love this.
And as you enter into this new period of your life, it will remind you that that you called this destruction and you possess the power to let go.
Oh, I love that.
And it has other ones as well, but that's just one of them.
Yeah, that's great.
So it's like, it's actually a way that you can like...
use them apart from divination and sort of things, which is... because that kind of brings me to... this is only something quite recent for me as well, is that I've actually started using them. I know we touched on it a little bit in the last episode about how we talked about stepping into the card and as a portal for meditation and things like that. But you can also use like the archetypes and the energy of that card in spell work or in any of your magical workings and things like that, when you're trying to bring in that specific type of energy, it's a really great focal point to use it in that way as well. But I also like to use them as a portal and a meditation thing all on their own as well.
I'm with you on that one. I like to kind of...
yeah.
I immerse myself in my cards because, like, it's no surprise or no... like, I always say tarot is life.
Yes.
And, like, if you would have heard me saying this joke on a number of episodes now where, like, I'll literally even say to my husband, I'll be like, what's an example? You're giving me a lot of King of Swords energy right now.
I know, yeah.
What I really want is a little bit of Empress.
Yeah. So you start to talk tarot.
Yeah.
That's what I've noticed since doing the course. I start talking tarot, like you liken life events or different energies and things like that to particular cards.
Well, but the thing is that it is actually like, because remember, as above, so below, the microcosm, the macrocosm, all that kind of stuff. So like, when you can relate life to tarot or akin to tarot. So, for example, if you're going through some financial hardship, you might say, like, you know, I'm really living my Five of Pentacles right now. If you know tarot, you can then go, well, if I'm at my Five of Pentacles now, that means that the next step is the Six of Pentacles. And we know that with that progression comes acceptance and comes a new windfall of money and all that other stuff. Like, you know, like that reciprocity thing, you start to receive again or whatnot. So like, if you can find the connections of your life to a specific card in the deck, you can then almost preempt what comes next, because life is cyclical.
Yes. Yeah, of course. Everything's in cycles. I mean, that's what we talk about with everything.
Everything. And it's also a good way, like, if you are someone who wants to learn about astrology, I personally find that by knowing tarot, that's kind of helped me kind of jumpstart my journey on learning astrology, because the archetypes of the, like, the court cards overlay with these astrological signs, but then also the major arcana also, you don't know this yet, but it's coming in intermediate and advanced.
In the next bit.
That each major arcana card has elements of the astrological powers and the planetary powers and stuff like that. So they bring with that the power of those specific planets and those specific astrological signs as well.
There's so much layered on top of tarot. There's the astrological, the planetary things.
There's the Kabbalah.
I was about to say, we came from, like, there was the Kabbalah, and there's also a lot. I know it was a lot in the Golden Dawn.
Golden Dawn, there's so much.
There's a lot of.
It's just like layer extra, on layer on layer on layer.
Yeah,
layer
there's
on layer
like
on
this
layer.
Extra esoteric kind of meanings and occult meanings underneath it as well. So you can kind of take it as deep or as surface as you want to.
Yeah, exactly. So I say, if you're interested in tarot, just jump in.
Go for it. So what I know we touched on a little bit in our last episodes, but for someone who's just kind of new and doing it, wanting to just play with their cards a little bit, what kind of spreads would you suggest?
I would suggest, if you're just starting out, an 11-card Celtic cross with an aura card, and then intuitively draw two additional cards to each position. So you end up having to read all 33 cards out of 78.
Yes, I think that's a great place to start.
I'm just joking. I'm totally joking. I'm being facetious.
I know.
So, in actual fact, just start with one card.
Yeah.
Like, even though there's 78 cards, by starting with one, like, okay, just so I can practice what I preach, ask Universe right now for some inspiration to get me through this week. What's a learning or a lesson that I need to work on this week?
Oh, you got some jumping
happening.
This one flips.
So this card flips. So there's, when you're shuffling, if a card jumps out or flips, that's usually Universe's way of kind of bringing that to your attention. So that's another little
secret. Yes, I was going to ask you about that, because people often talk about the jumping cards and things like that. With
so I don't know if you saw, while I was shuffling, it kind of flipped itself.
Yeah, like, flipped on its own.
So I drew the Nine of Cups. So the Nine of Cups is what we commonly call the wish card. So it's all about... basically, whatever it is that you are focusing on is, like, basically your wish is my command, is what Universe would say. But there's also the lesson of, like, being careful what you wish for. So I would say this is telling me, because I asked for inspiration for the next week. So it's basically, if I'm focusing all the things I want and being a coach, I'm constantly coaching people to focus on what they want, not what they don't want. Because if you focus on lack, then all you'll get is more lack.
Yeah.
So focus on what you want or what you desire, then you'll get more of that. So it kind of a double-edged sword, because it's telling me that whatever I focus on or whatever I want or wish for is going to be granted. But with that comes the thing of just being careful where my thoughts go.
Yeah.
Because if I focus on the things I don't want, then I'm probably going to attract that too. So this is very much about that magnetism that happens with where focus goes, energy flows.
Yeah, definitely.
So if anyone else watching this, if this card relates to you...
I was going to say, it's actually quite a witchy kind of card too, really, isn't it? Because that's one thing that we all need to know, is that be careful what you wish for and being careful of your thoughts, because our thoughts have power, our words have power, all of those kind of things. So, yeah.
Exactly. Awesome. I wonder whether we could do a very quick... maybe we can do a very quick... I'm going to do a quick card reading.
Okay.
Everybody.
Oh, I like this.
So I'm going to ask Universe, what is the what is 2021 going to look like? Oops, didn't mean to bump the microphone. What does 2021 look like, or where does the focus need to go for everyone listening to our show?
Ooh, I like this. Well,
this is very broad.
I was going to say it's a big one.
Let's see where this goes.
But remember, it's just, it's a general. It's a general.
I'm going to give him a good shuffle. So
yeah, give him a good shuffle. Good shuffle.
I'm a little nervous now.
I was just saying, you look really nervous.
Well, it's like, that's a big call to say, what does everyone need question. To focus on for 2021?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So and the see, card that I drew.
That.
Ooh. Oh, the card that I drew is the King of Wands.
Ooh. See, so, I do it too.
Huh?
I do it too. I went, ooh.
Yeah, because you know what the King of Wands is. So for those that don't know, a little bit about the King of Wands. So the way that I teach tarot is to basically look at the card. The card tells you everything that you need to divine or that you need to know. So for this particular card, the King of Wands, so because he's a king, he's accomplished a lot with his life. He's very sure of himself. Yeah. So for 2020 on, basically what it's telling you is you need to be very sure in yourself. What is it that you are wanting in this life, in this next year?
Yeah.
Focus on that. Also, when it comes to his wand, now remember the wand is all about creation. So with wand energy, it's that creative life force that comes with wands. As we know as witches, when we wave our wand, it's an extension of us.
Yeah.
So if you think of it, it's the King of Wands. So he's the master of being able to create whatever it is that he wants by wielding his wand. And with that comes a lot of growth. So if we've just come out of 2020, now's the time for the reset. We're doing 2021. Wherever you focus and direct your energy, that's going to lead to growth in this life. I'm also getting from this particular card a sense of shedding of old ways. So there's if we look at this card, there's a little gecko or a little lizard down the corner.
Yeah, down the bottom.
So that usually is representative of having to shed your old skin or shed your old ways, or basically removing the things that no longer serve you. So all that shit that happened in 2020, it's time to just shed that skin and let it go.
Yeah.
There's no point bringing that forward into 2021. It's only going to cloud your direction and your where you're headed with this. Also, the King of Wands is an Aries energy card. So with Aries, they're very bold. They're very courageous. They're very gung-ho when it comes to, if there's something they want, they go for it. Mm-hmm. Even at the risk of burning all their bridges on the way. Because they just don't give a fuck.
That's it.
So with that, there's a lot of lions on this particular card, which is all about having courage and the boldness to basically, if there's something you want in 2021, don't wait for it to come to you. Go out and seek it. Go out and do it. Go out and manifest it. Create it.
Yeah.
Wand energy. It's fire energy. So it's all creative energy. So create the path that you want for 2021. And just with a no fucks given attitude. Like an Aries, just ask any Aries that you know. They don't tiptoe around something or kind of dip their toe in. No. They're like,
they're
from 0 to 200 in a mile a minute, they put their foot down, they go for it. Yeah. And they literally give no fucks as to whether it happens or not, whether it goes in alignment with their plan or not. They don't care. They just give it a go. So think of famous Aries people. You got Celine Dion. She's a famous Aries. So she's the person that will literally, you give her a song to sing, she'll quickly sight read the music so she knows what the notes are, and she sings it correct first time, every time. She just
does it.
Like that little fun thing. So Queer Cosmos.
Yeah, Colin Bedell, I think Colin
he did a video on her, which was about her first time brilliance. So with Aries people, the thing that you present them, it has to intrigue them or appeal to their creative desire. If it doesn't appeal to their wants or desires, then they just dismiss it. So because we've got the King of Wands energy, it's about finding that thing that appeals to you and then just totally serving it up. Because when
going for
he gave a story about the My Heart Will Go On, the first time she ever sang it, the demo became the studio recording. So the song that everyone hears, it was the first time she ever fucking sang that song.
That's ridiculous.
So that's Aries working within their power.
Yeah.
So for you guys, 2021.
That's exactly what we're doing.
Focus on the things that you want in life. Wield that wand responsibly. Wave it around nilly-nilly.
No, because he does. He has that strong hold on it. He knows what he's doing with it.
Absolutely. And it's just about really shedding all those old things that no longer serve us from 2020, moving into 2021, and just being bold. Just being bold and courageous with the year.
I love that.
So yeah, there we go. How was that?
I love it. I love it. That was perfect. I loved it.
Can you imagine if we got the tower again?
I know. I'm like, well, I think maybe we need to cut and redo that. We'd have to. I don't know if everybody could take another tower year.
No. I mean, I personally love the tower, but I don't want it two tower years back to back.
We don't want it all the time. No.
No.
So no, I think that was perfect. That was a beautiful message to go with him.
So is there anything else we want to talk about? Tara, I think
we kind of covered it all. I mean, please let us know if there's any particular questions or particular things you want us to chat about or answer or anything like that, then let us know. That's like everything. We kind of give you a big brief overview.
What I might do even.
Oh.
I'm feeling generous in 2021.
Oh.
So, because we have just launched our Patreon.
Oh, yes.
We have just launched our Patreon for 2021. So basically, for those that don't know what is Patreon, it's basically if you're wanting to become a paid subscriber, our Patreon members, there's different tiers, but basically in a nutshell, every tier has different bonuses and
incentives
and things like that. Yep. To support us, because we do this out of the goodness of our heart. We don't get paid for this by anyone. We don't get any sponsorship. We don't get any endorsements. No. So we're putting Patreon out there. Just if you guys want to become paid subscribers of our channel, then the money that we get will basically just help us buy resources and material and things like that, or go to conferences like witchy events that we can then report back on and stuff. So also to buy better equipment. So we have
to sound crispy and clear.
So we look beautiful.
I'm just kidding. That's right.
So what I'm thinking is, for the people that sign up to Patreon, I'm going to, how am I going to do this? I reckon for the first 10 Patreon subscribers, I'm going to contact you and give you guys a reading.
Wow.
So I normally charge.
That's awesome.
So you guys know, because Patreon, I'm going to put on a specific tier. I have to look at our tiers again to see which one.
Yeah,
I'm going to put it in there. Bonus reading.
Yeah.
So for our Patreon subscribers, so I normally charge $111 per reading.
Yeah.
That goes for roughly an hour, give or take. Sometimes it goes longer because I tend to waffle. I give more value.
That's right. I was going to say, it's not waffle, it's more value.
Yeah, exactly. So
generous with your time.
So for the first 10 people that sign up to our Patreon, I will give you a reading.
Woohoo! That's exciting.
I thought a bit of incentive to kickstart the Patreon.
Oh, I love that. Yay!
So, you caught me on a good day, apparently.
I know, that was completely unscripted and everything.
That was not planned. I literally just thought, I'm going
to
go down that road.
I was about to say that. So.
Next minute, Vicky tries to subscribe. I'm like, Vicky, you don't need to
subscribe. I know, that's what I'm like, I'm going
to
subscribe.
You don't need to pay from your own pocket to come back to us anyway.
I know.
But no, if you guys do, in all seriousness, we've popped the link on our link tree. So if you go through our Instagram, you'll see the link tree and it has Patreon. If you want to become a paid subscriber, there's no minimum term if you want to. So you can switch it on and off as you want to. But there's obviously lots of bonuses and we're always coming up with new stuff.
Yeah.
So I think for our higher tiers, we've got some cool merch that we're working on. You get some behind the scenes exclusive video content. You'll also get things like early access to our episodes before everyone else hears them. So you'll get access to them first
before anyone else.
For certain tiers, there's also an opportunity to connect with us in a private chat group.
Yep.
Or private chat forum. So you can actually connect with us. We're also going to be offering our Patreons the opportunity to help us
direct
the show where it goes.
Topics and questions and things like that.
We may even have you on the show. For more information, check out our Patreon information on the link. We'll pop it in the description as well. I think that's everything for today.
I think that's everything for today.
Awesome.
I think we did good. What do you say?
We did good. Tick.
Well done.
Awesome. So until next time, guys, I hope you have an amazing week and we'll speak to you soon.
Bye.